Well, I want to welcome those who are here, and of course, those online, to Sunday morning New Hope Chapel's praise and worship service. Amen? You know, I believe that we experienced a wonderful song service. I think that the songs of praise which were presented here, see, I know the end of all of this, and so I can attest that it prepared us by lifting us up and ushering us into the balance of our worship this morning. And it's coming. My sermon title, as you can tell, by the way, were you told to read the text in advance? Hopefully, it was kind of lengthy. I thought it would be better for you. In any event, the sermon title for my sermon this morning is The Supernatural Power of the Holy Spirit. And my text is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. Of course, it's printed in your handout together with the sermon outline for your easy reference. It's in the New King James Version. Well, walk with me, as I always do, through Psalm 19:14. And so this morning, dear Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen?
Amen?
You know, we're living in a day of worldly ministerial success. And some churches want to be the largest, the richest, the most influential, the most well-known on the face of the earth. Success these days is often measured in millions of dollars, tens of thousands of attendees, to include both actual and virtual, and of course, seeking worldwide fame and recognition. But the truth is that God has a different standard for determining what a successful ministry is. And in our text today, the Lord Jesus teaches us that the most important ingredient of a successful ministry is the Holy Spirit. You know, in our text, the disciples lacked that particular ingredient. They failed to cast the demon from the little boy. They failed miserably. We're told that in our text, verse 18. They failed in their attempt. And the boy's father summed up their efforts by saying, "And they could not." And he was right. He had come to these men because they were the disciples of Jesus. And the father brought this demon-possessed son to the disciples, hoping that for some way they were going to give help to he and his family. But he found that these men could not offer any help. They could not. Why did they fail? Well, as we'll see, they failed because they lacked supernatural power. In other words, they lacked that spiritual power because they were missing that one ingredient that assures spiritual power. And someone has well said that if the Holy Spirit left the church, Betty would never miss him. You know, the Holy Spirit's power is what today's church needs most. We need the Holy Spirit's power to be able to explain not those things in terms of human effort or human ingenuity. We want those things that can only be explained by the power of God.
Amen.
How many times do people attend services or visit churches and they walk away saying, "I came seeking help from God today, but he could not. I came with a problem in my marriage, but he could not." Why? Because they came looking for God, and they could not find him for them. You know, looking first at your outline, the lack of spiritual power. Earlier in Mark chapter 9, the first few verses, verses 1 through 13, we find that Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John up to Mount Hermon. And there he was transfigured before them. The glory of his heavenly state became visible on that mountaintop. They listened to Moses and Elijah as they talked to Jesus. They heard the voice of God the Father as he praised Jesus, his son. Now, when Jesus and the three disciples came down the mountain, they find the other nine disciples engaged in an argument with the scribes. And it seems that a father had brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus for healing. And since Jesus was up in the mountain, the man asked the disciples if they could heal his son. But he found very quickly that they were not capable of casting out the demon. And as a result, the scribes are mocking them for their lack of power. And this is a scene that Jesus walks into, and he asks for an explanation. The father, in agonizing detail, describes the pitiful condition of his son. If you notice, every verb that the father speaks in our text, verse 18, is in the present tense. Everything is happening right now. And the father's language describes a horrible, ongoing situation of demonic torment. When Jesus hears the details, he voices his own dismay over all that he has heard. And he says to them and to the disciples, particularly in deep anguish, our text, verse 19, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." You know, Jesus observes that no one seems to be able to believe. And the disciples who had seen the power of Jesus, they lacked true faith. The religious leaders had no faith. And the crowd that had gathered had very little knowledge of what faith is. And this broken-hearted father, turns out, does not have the faith necessary for his son to be delivered from the demon. And Jesus sees this lack of faith. I think it was a heartbreaking moment for Jesus. The saddest aspect of this whole scene is not the condition of the boy, not the spirit of the scribes, not the anguish of the father. The saddest aspect of this whole account is the powerlessness of the disciples. And in many ways, these nine disciples are the picture of the modern church. Like them, we have a reputation that we have power. Many churches have all the people they want to fill their pews and to do the jobs that needed to be done around the church. But many churches lack what they need most, the power of God. You know, the crosses on top of these buildings or the words on these billboards make a promise to the world. It tells every person who passes by that this is the place God meets with his people. The church promises the needy that they can find help when they come. The church says, if you need God, we can help you find him. The church says, if your life is broken, we can show you how God can fix it. The church says, if your family is falling apart, we can show you how God can put it together. If you are lost, we can show you how you can be saved. We are a church. That word tells the world that we have been called out from among them to be different. It tells the world that we gather here to assemble ourselves before God, to worship and to honor him. We're not a social club. We are a church. We're not an entertainment organization. We are a church. We're not like them, but we are like him. Therefore, his power should be with us. His truth should be within us. His way should be before us, and his word should guide us. We are his church. Amen. And many churches today have a lot of people, but they don't have a lot of power. There's no touch of God. There's no power of God. The world comes in and there's no help for their condition. May it never be said of this church, and they could not. And second in your outline, consider the Lord of spiritual power. You know, Jesus hears the father's story, and he commands that the boy be brought to him. And when he arrives, the demon, the child, recognizes Jesus and attacks the boy once again. The child is gripped with convulsions. He wallows on the ground, foaming at the mouth. It's a pitiful scene. And as the child is squirming on the ground, Jesus begins to question his father. You see, Jesus is attempting to understand and to overcome the father's lack of faith. And so Jesus asks, how long has this child been this way? The father's answer is graphic and compelling. He says that this has been the boy's way since he was young, since he was little. That demon, he said, has attacked this boy repeatedly, trying to get him to drown or trying to get him to be burned up in fire. And then the father reveals his true condition of his faith. He looks at Jesus in our text, verse 22, and he says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is the pitiful plea of a faithless man. See, the father trusted that the disciples of Jesus could heal his son. When the disciples failed, his faith in Jesus was shattered as well. In verse 17, the father brings his son, believing that Jesus could deliver him. Now the father's faith in verse 22 has been reduced to if you can do anything. You know, the force of the words of our Lord's reply in verse 23 doesn't really come through in the English translation. Listen, here is the sense and the tone that we read in the Greek. Jesus says and means, what do you mean, if I can? Believe. All things are possible to him who believes. And at this point, the distraught father makes one of the most honest and transparent statements in the Bible. He states in verse 24, with tears in his eyes, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He was saying, Lord, I do believe in you. I do believe in your power. But my faith is weak. Help grow my faith. Listen, don't be afraid if your faith is small. The Bible says that we go from faith unto faith. That is, as we exercise the faith we have, and though it is small faith, it will become stronger as we use it. You know, faith is very much like a muscle in the human body. If the muscle is not exercised, it will atrophy. But if you exercise the faith that you have, it will become stronger. And now we know that faith pleases God more than anything else. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so Jesus commands the demon to leave the boy and never return. The demon attacks the boy one more time and then comes out. And the boy becomes so quiet and so still that onlookers assume that he's dead. Then Jesus does what Jesus does best. He takes the child by the hand and lifts him up. The child rises and he is free. There are three spiritual truths presented here that we must not overlook. First of all, a powerless church. A powerless church portrays Jesus in a bad light. You know, because the disciples lacked power, the Father assumed that Jesus lacked power as well. The same is true for the house of God. When a lost world walks into a church building and it sees deadness, coldness, apathy, then the lost assume that Jesus is just as lifeless, just as powerless, and just as dead. And many churches are guilty of false advertising. They claim that they have something to offer the world, but they have nothing but cold, dead religion that helps no one. And I think it's time for the churches to tell the truth about Jesus. And that is that he changes lives that come in surrender and repentance. That his gospel has power. And we should never be guilty of false advertising. We need to live up to the message that we preach. Secondly, your outline, a weak faith. A weak faith is better than no faith. In our text, the father was filled with doubt. But we learn that he had a small seed of faith in his heart. And as a result, Jesus answered his prayer. Listen, God is not put off by our doubts. But total unbelief slams the door on his power in our lives. We need to remember that it isn't large faith that receives big answers from the Lord. It's simple faith that sees him move in great power. And we read of this in Matthew 17:20, which states, Jesus said to them, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And thirdly, in your outline, a lifting business. Jesus is still in the lifting up business. And just as Jesus took this poor, lifeless boy by the hand and lifted him up into a new life, Jesus can do the same for all who come to him by faith. He can lift that dead sinner out of his sins and into a new life with Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. He can lift that cold, apathetic church member out of his complacency and restore to him the joy of salvation and into a new life of blessing. He can lift that burdened believer out of fear and failure and give him that peace that surpasses all human understanding. His invitation is in Revelation 3:20, where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me. And lastly, third in your outline, consider the lessons of spiritual power. When this episode is over, and the disciples are alone with Jesus, the nine who failed to deliver the child asked Jesus why they failed. And the answer Jesus gave them is both simple and telling. His answer is they failed because they lacked spiritual discipline in their lives. And he said to them in our text, verse 29, which states, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Please note that the word fasting does not appear here in this verse in the earlier manuscripts. So apparently it was added by a translator. However, there are so many numerous biblical references to fasting that I will continue to use it this morning as a valid mandate. Amen? And so this morning, I want to challenge each of you to do something over the next few months. To set aside 40 days when you will give yourselves over to prayer and fasting. Your choice. 1 or 2 days a week. A Jewish fast. In other words, only liquids until 6 p.m. If you have dietary restrictions such as diabetes, don't fast. Just pray. Count 40 days. You know, Moses fasted for 40 days and prayed when he was seeking God for a breakthrough in his leadership of Israel. Jesus was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness to fast and pray for 40 days, and Jesus got his breakthrough. 40 in the Bible is a number which means testing. And 40 days also indicates our seriousness in coming to the spiritual breakthrough in our lives. I want us to see God through this breakthrough that we need in our lives. I believe that through fasting, we can break through to a deeper, more personal, more powerful relationship with God. But the key to spiritual power is not only fasting, but just as important is prayer. And regardless of how much you fast, it will be powerless unless you include prayer to God. It's the combination of prayer and fasting that will help us realize our breakthrough. You know, in Acts 13:2, it's reported of the early church in Antioch that they were seeking God's direction for their church. So they fasted and prayed, and God gave them the breakthrough that they were seeking. It was the combination of prayer and fasting that God used to bring the victory. So fast and pray for our church. Fast and pray that we will see the manifested presence of Jesus in this place. Fast and pray that God will bring down every barrier which is preventing us from growing as we ought to grow. Listen, the disciples did not fail because they did not believe. They believed all right, or they would not have tried to cast out the demon from the child. When they were not successful in casting out the demon, they were amazed, humiliated, and dismayed. The problem was is that they believed in the wrong things. They failed because their faith was in their words and not in God. They failed because it was in their ritual. Their faith was in stuff they had done before. Their faith was in themselves. And these men failed because they were not leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ for the power that they needed. We fail. We fail in the Lord's work. And we lack his power for the very same reasons. We lack the power in the modern church because we will not pay the price for power. Prayer and fasting is not a matter of our bending God's will to our own. Prayer and fasting are the elements that God uses to get our attention and get us ready for the miracles that he wants to send us. Prayer and fasting are the means that God uses to bend our will to his will. Prayer and fasting puts us in the proper frame of mind to claim the power of God that he has made available through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, without him, we can do nothing. And he also said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Prayer and fasting and seeking God with a surrendered heart will bring the power of God into our lives. Listen, have we become like the disciples in Mark chapter 9 who are trying to cast out a demon? They had the formula, as we have the words. They had the ritual, as we have the oil and the laying on of hands. They lacked the power of God to get the job done. And the truth is, there will be no power. There will be no glory. There will be no revival in the church until God's people learn to lean on Jesus and on him alone for what we need. Amen? Well, service is over. And as you leave this sanctuary, I ask of you all who are able, will you join me in 40 days of fasting and praying for the power of God to come upon our church? Pray and fast that the power of God comes in such a way that when it happens, it cannot be explained through human programs, human progress, or human efforts. I think we all know what man can do in his efforts. Let's see what God can do. Amen? See you all next week.